We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, Gifts Operating in the Church, from the series Stronger, and shows you how spiritual gifts build up the body for Christ so the church can impact the culture. Now, here's today's program.
He's giving permission for two or three prophets to speak. In other words, there shouldn't be everybody getting up out of their seats and everybody speaking and saying, I have a word from the Lord. Two or three, and notice what it says. It's really interesting. And let others pass judgment. This is where New Testament prophecy is different than Old Testament prophecy. In Old Testament prophecy, when Isaiah said, thus saith the Lord, it was thus saith the Lord. When Ezekiel said, thus saith the Lord, it's thus saith the Lord. When Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, it's thus saith the Lord. In the New Testament, prophecy is not authoritative. It's not people saying, this is what's going to happen authoritatively. Why? Because the canon is closed. New Testament prophecy, as we talked about last week, is for the purpose of edification or building up, encouragement or consolation or comfort. That's what it's for. And so we need to evaluate, just because someone knows the Lord, just because someone's spiritual, just because someone's filled with the Spirit, doesn't mean that everything coming out of their mouth is exactly what God would have to say. So we need to evaluate it. And you say, well, where do you get that? I showed you last week, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes to the Thessalonians and talks about this. Right in the context of 1 Thessalonians 5:19, he says this, do not quench the Spirit. So in other words, there's things the Holy Spirit wants to do among you. Don't quench it. Say, well, how would we do that? The very next verse says, do not despise prophetic utterances. In other words, do not treat prophecy with contempt. When somebody has a prophetic word, don't say, oh, that's just nonsense. I have the Bible. No, don't treat it that way. But do what? He says, but examine everything carefully. In other words, when it's coming out of their mouth, examine everything carefully. Even as your pastor, I've told you time and time again, and this not only doesn't hurt my feelings, this makes me feel real good. If there's things that I say and you're like, Pastor Jeff, I can't find that in the Word, then believe what the Word says. This book is authoritative. I'm not. Jesus Christ is the authority. I'm not. When it comes to New Testament prophecy, there's nobody that's an authority. We need to evaluate it with the Word of God and what we know to be true about Jesus in order to receive it. That's the context for what he's saying about prophecy. So don't despise it, but examine everything carefully. And he says this, hold fast to that which is good. It means someone may have a prophetic word and some of it may be, man, that's really good. And I don't know that that's true. It's take the meat and spit out the bones. And if there's going to be prophetic words uttered, there needs to be someone there who can help interpret what that is. Now, you may ask, how are we going to do this in our church? What's this going to look like? Here's my candid answer. I have no idea. Right? I really don't. I want to be biblical and all, but I don't know what you do. I mean, I've been in places where they have open mic time where people can just come and do that. I'm a little leery of that, to be honest, because what if someone walks in that doesn't know anything and they come and hijack a mic and then we got to shepherd the whole thing? That's not good. I've seen it done where there's usually an elder or a senior pastor where if somebody has a prophetic word, they can kind of share it with a mature, seasoned believer who can make a judgment in that moment. Yeah, that seems right. Hey, this is when we should share it. Maybe at the end of the service. Hey, maybe next service. Hey, maybe next week, let's pray about it. It doesn't mean we get it right every time. Who's the person that's going to share it? Is the person that brought the word or is it going to be one of the elders or pastors? Listen, this is something we got to grow in as a church, be open to what God wants to do, and allow God's Spirit to work. Now, here's the reason why a lot of people say, well, that makes me uncomfortable. Because many of us have been in environments where things haven't been biblical, and it makes us a little leery, to be honest. I mean, I've been in environments where during the service, somebody blurts out a tongue, and then everybody's like, what are we going to do? Is somebody going to stop that? Shut it down, right? And I've seen it shepherded well, and I've seen it shepherded poorly. I've seen nothing happen. I've watched great pastors walk up and say, hey, listen, you know, in a group this size, it'd be really difficult to know if there's an interpreter present. And so while you have a heart to serve the Lord, and while that's so good, it would be best at this time if you kept that tongue to yourself, unless we knew there was an interpreter here for the sake of the whole body. And that's a very loving way to do that. Or maybe it is that we have an interpreter, so we play one more song. We say, is this interpretation line? Does this seem to be what God's saying to our church? But there needs to be wisdom. You don't turn your brain off when it comes to spiritual gifts. You always keep your brain on to see, is this really what God is saying? And that's what he's talking about. We need to evaluate it. We need to weigh it. We need to say, I don't know. And that's what we're called to do. Does that make sense? And so when it comes to tongues and prophecy, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. And notice what he says. Here's some further understanding of this. He says this, two or three will pass judgment. Notice verse 30. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent. In other words, if there's somebody up here that's giving a prophetic word and the Lord moves on the heart of somebody that's seated and they're like, man, I got something I need to say. It's okay for that person to finish what they're saying and then allow God to move through the person that God spoke to so that they can come up. But to do it in order, to do it with respect to what God wants done and how he wants done. And then he says this. For you can all prophesy, what? One by one, so that you may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. That's what he says. Right? In other words, you don't have to get the word out. Brother, I got to say this. I can't control my tongue. Yes, you can. You totally can. And yeah, we can trust the leadership in the church to decide when it and where it gets decided. I mean, that's maturity. That's what it looks like. That's what Paul's saying. And Paul says, these are the guidelines that we need to follow if we're going to operate on this correctly. Otherwise, it's going to be total chaos. I mean, this is kind of like the Apostle Paul being a judge in the courtroom, pounding his gavel, saying, order, please, order, please. Why? Because there's a difference between gifts functioning the way God wants in community versus being Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus, where it's just up for grabs. And it's like, dun, 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 dun. And everybody's walking out saying, that was awesome. And people are like, what was that? It was emotional. Yeah, I know, but what did they talk about? I have no idea, but it was cool. No, it wasn't. I mean, that's not what church is supposed to be. It's to be grounded in the word of God for the exaltation of Jesus Christ, for building one another up so that we can hear and evaluate what God is saying. Amen? And we want to follow what God's doing because when we're mature in that, we can understand intelligently and evaluate the things that are being taught. Let me give you another one that we can do. If we're mature in our thinking, then it also helps us so that we can follow God's divine order of authority. So we can follow his divine order of authority. Now, I want to read these verses to you, and I want to tell you something about these verses. First of all, as your pastor, you need to know this. I believe the entire word of God is inerrant. All 66 books, all of it is inspired by God for our edification and belief. I believe everything I'm about ready to read to you. But I'm going to tell you this. This would be a contender for the most offensive three verses in a row in the entire section of Scripture. I do not apologize for that because I believe God has a word for us he wants us to hear. So let's read them and then unpack them. Here's what he says. As in all the churches of the saints, which really is an unfortunate verse break in verse 34. It really goes better with verse 34. As in all the churches of the saints, the women are to keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law says. If they desire to learn anything, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in church. Was it from you that the word of God first went forth, or has it come to you only? Amen. Okay, anybody have any questions? Right? I mean, in our culture that has shifted so far in one direction, that is so confused about gender and so confused about the word of God, that this can come across as being extremely painful. And women, let me just give you some clarity on this before we get started. When I taught on 1 Corinthians 13, I said, if I speak in the tongue of men and angels but have not love, what am I, a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal? Women, listen to me. Look at me. For those of you who have been abused by men, for those of you who have been put down by men, for those of you who have been talked down to by men, and you hear this, your first guttural reaction is to say, oh, heck no, okay? And I just want to tell you as your pastor, I get that, okay? I want to also tell you, it doesn't change the word of God.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Gifts Operating in the Church, from the series Stronger, showing you how spiritual gifts build up the body so the church can impact the culture. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, We want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
It just doesn't change the Word of God. So the question we have to ask is, what does this mean? Now, I've read lots of commentaries this week, and let me just tell you what I've discovered. Nobody agrees. Not one person agrees. Some people will say this, well, that was just culture. That was just back then. You know, you just got to kind of toss that out. That's convenient. It just doesn't seem to play very well. Some people say, well, that was just the Apostle Paul being a chauvinist. That's who he is. So we can toss that out today. I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time. And there are even evangelical scholars that try to argue that this was added later and that's not what he meant. So they throw it out. There's other people that say, hey, it says what it means. Just tell women, shh, be quiet, right? The challenge I have with the interpretation of taking this at face value is like any other scripture that I do. If you're going to interpret what a scripture means, you need to interpret it in the context of what's being said, then with the broader context of that book, and then with the broader context of scripture. Keep in mind, what's Paul talking about here? He's correcting teaching in the church that's not being done correctly, right? And what's he just gotten done talking about? Prophecy. Evaluating prophecy. That's what he's talking about. And in the evaluation of prophecy, I believe what Paul is saying, women, it is not your job to evaluate the prophecy, it's men's job. And you see all throughout the canon of scripture that women are not to teach nor have authority over men. It's a man's responsibility. Now, I know that comes across as kind of a harsh word, and I'll explain why in just a minute, but that's God's design. So when it comes to interpreting prophecy or being in a small group or a man's leading, you're like, wait a second, I don't think that's right. Here's what happens. I know it for a fact. When women step forward, men step back. It is an absolute 100% fact. And Paul knew about this. I mean, gender's a big deal. God created gender. And as I told you a few weeks ago, he created two, male and female. I saw an article here in the last month and it had, this guy was arguing for 37 genders. I don't even know how you do that. Right? I mean, we live in such a culture where when people get hurt, they go their own direction. They don't want to hear the word of God. God's word is true whether we like it or not. Now, here's one of the reasons why many women have a hard time hearing this is because, you know what? Notice the next verse. After women are to keep silent in the churches, they're not permitted to speak, but are to subject themselves, just as the law said. That's in the context of interpreting prophecies and saying, I don't agree with him. That's not authoritative. I don't agree with her. Here's another reason. Let me just say this. Why I don't think Paul's talking about absolute silence. Because in 1 Corinthians 11, he's talking about women that have the gift of prophesying and women that have the ability to pray. I mean, so how can you say, well, they have the gift to prophesy and pray, they just can't use it in the church when the purpose of gifts is to exalt Jesus and to build the body in the church? It makes it really difficult to argue that way for me. That's why I don't think that's what Paul is saying. And women, you see this all throughout the Old and New Testament where women are used mightily of God for his glory. This is not an issue of gifting. This is an issue of divine order of things. The only place I do not see women serving in the entire Old Testament is we have no Old Testament priests that are women, right? When it comes to the divine order of the priesthood, it's all male. In the New Testament, the only place I don't see women serve is as elder or lead pastor. Jesus, when he picked his 12 apostles, he picked all 12 men. Now, you might say, well, that's just Jesus. You know, he just didn't want to upset the culture. Have you ever studied Jesus? I mean, if there's anybody that would have said, man, I'm just going to pick 12 women, it would have been Jesus. Women followed him around his whole ministry. Jesus elevated the role of women in ministry consistently. The first two witnesses of his resurrection from the dead were women telling men the gospel that Jesus Christ had risen. Women, let me tell you something. You're in a church where you can exercise the fullness of all of your gifts because that's what Jesus Christ would want. However, the only prohibition I see in scripture is to be an elder, senior leader in a church or the interpretation of prophecy during a church meeting. That's it, right? Everything else goes, right? And this is what Paul is talking about. Let me tell you the other reason why this is hard. The other reason why this is hard is I would just have to say to the women here that most women get put down for the very thing God put them on the earth to do. I hear women talk like this sometimes. I'm just a wife. I'm just a wife and a mother. Just a? What do you mean, just a? If you're married, that is your highest possible calling you could have in your life, is to bring glory to God by serving your husband. And if you happen to have children, the highest calling in your life is to serve your husband and your kids. And oh, by the way, married women, that's what God thinks is the most important. Culture may tell you you're not getting your value there, go out in the workplace. And God doesn't prohibit women from being in the workplace in any way. But let me tell you what God thinks. He doesn't see you as just a wife. He doesn't see you as just a mom. He sees you as glorious, doing the very thing that God's called you to do. Amen? Now, with that as a background, and this is quick, notice what he tells the women to do. If I can't speak in church and I can't interpret these prophecies, well, then what am I supposed to do? Notice what he says. If you desire to learn anything, so women, learn as much as you want. What are you supposed to do? Ask your own husbands. Ask your own husbands. What does this tell me about the men? Men, you better be able to answer their questions. I mean, that's what it means. I mean, for this to work, you need to be able to answer the questions that your wife would ask. And I know how some of you women feel when it comes to this. I know way more than that guy does. I mean, I feel crippled, right? I mean, it'd be like for me and my wife, like if we're at a Broncos game and I'm watching the game and I turn my back to get some popcorn from a vendor and turn back around and I notice that the quarterback got sacked and I looked at my wife, I'm like, what happened? I'm like, did they blitz or did the back miss his block or was it the left tackle? And she's like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't see any of that. If somebody told me you have to rely on your wife, if you have questions about the Broncos, go home and ask Kim. I feel paralyzed, right? But in other areas, she would feel paralyzed about me. I'm not a sci-fi person. I don't like sci-fi movies. Never have, never will. So when it comes to like Star Wars and all that stuff, if she ran out to get popcorn and came back in and she's like, what happened? I'd be like, I don't know. Some animal shot some person or something. I don't know. That would not be satisfying for her, right? So here's the thing, women, I get it. I get it that you would say, well, I know more than my husband. I mean, I've been to Beth Moore all these times. I've been to Priscilla Evans. I mean, I ask him about his view on the end times. He doesn't even know what an end time is and all this kind of stuff. Men, this is a call that's understood that to be a spiritual leader is not just an authoritative role. It's growing in the ability to actually lead as one. Amen? I mean, this is as much to the men as it is to the women. And so while I'm a pastor and you hear me go after the men, I don't go after the men because I'm down on men or because I'm trying to put men down, but I realize the pendulum has swung so far in one direction that sometimes women feel that. How can I live this thing out when I don't have any men that can actually fulfill what they're called to do? Single women, this does not discredit you. Single women, hopefully you have a dad that can do this. Single women, if you don't have a dad that can do this, we have men pastors on staff that would love to be that for you if you're not married. You're not discredited. You are not put out to pasture, okay? But this is what God says, right? This is his word. Ask your husbands who are at home. Now, I realize this is so counterculture. I mean, I didn't wear Kevlar or anything today, but I understand that sometimes I think women wish it was the opposite way around. Like, why don't the men be silent? I know what it means to be silent. I had vocal cord surgery in February. I had 21 days. I could not even whisper, I love you, to my family. I had a phone where I could text and it would talk for me like a robot. That's all I had. I was silent. And for the first 2 weeks, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't fun, but I got through. But when I started to go out of the house, it became really complicated because I couldn't talk to anybody. And I was like, what if I get pulled over? What if this? So my assistant, Lisa, she made me this sign. You can see it behind me. Here's what it says. I just had surgery on my vocal cords and cannot speak right now. Thank you for your patience. Every time somebody talked to me, I pulled this out of my pocket, just held it up. You know how hard that is for me? And it's really interesting to watch people's response because some people, I mean, it looked like as soon as I pulled this sign up, I'm like, do I have warts all over my head or something? Because everybody's like, you know. Other people felt really compassionate. Some people just wanted to get done with me. I remember one night Pastor Dave invited me to go to a Voice of the Martyrs movie, right? On a Monday night, it was in a rainstorm. And he told the ladies out front that he had paid for me. And so I got to the theater and I walk in and these two 70 plus year old women are like standing there, like they're not gonna let me in. So I held up my sign, you know, kind of showing them who I was. They wouldn't have it. They're not letting me in. I'm like thinking, I'm not trying to like hijack the Voice of the Martyrs film on a Monday night. And, you know, I wanted to say, listen, I thought all the persecution was going to happen on the film, not out here in the lobby, you know. But here's the truth. I mean, I had so many different stories. And one of the stories I had, I took my youngest daughter who just turned 5 this week. We went out for gelato one day and we're eating gelato and we're having this little tea party and we're having all this stuff. And my daughter's talking to me. And I thought before I go home, I was going to buy some cupcakes for my whole family. And so I waited at the counter because I couldn't talk. And I'm just waiting and waiting. Finally, some woman comes out and I held up my sign. She's like, you're the unicorn. And I had a puzzled look on my face. She's like, yeah. She's like, the women in the back said you came in here with a wedding ring on, that you're sitting around with like a 4 or 5 year old girl, enjoying her, loving her. She's happy to be around you. It's obviously you're married. It's obvious that you love your daughter and you can't even speak. Do you know how long I've been praying that for my husband? Right? And this is how we think sometimes when it comes to this text. How come the men? How come the men? Here's the truth. Here's what I've discovered. Here's what I think. This is my interpretation. There's many, and you can wrestle with this your own way. But I don't think women genuinely have a problem submitting as much as who they're submitting to.
Good, sir. Yep. Yes, sir.
God wants us to grow in our gifting. So men, here's the word for you. It's not going home and telling your wife to be quiet. It's not telling her to shut up. It's not saying don't speak. It's not saying be obedient. It's going home and leading in such a way that she would want to come under you.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And women, the opposite is true for you. I mean, make it easy for your husband to lead you, right? Make it easy for your husband to lead you. If you complain and complain and complain and complain, it won't work. I promise you it won't work. I mean, if you walk around and say, he never prays, he never leads devotions, he never does this, he never does that, it won't work for you. Ladies, I just encourage you, maybe he doesn't pray with you, but maybe you could grab his hand someday and say, honey, could we just pray together here for a minute? Hey, honey, here's what I was reading in the Word today. What do you think about that? I mean, give him a chance to grow into his leadership. Don't shut him down. And the Bible says all over the place, God opposes what? The proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Men and women, we're both called to be humble, and we're humble by admitting that the Word of God is true. And Lord, whether this is comfortable or not in our culture, this is what I want to submit to, because God, I want to be a place, I want to be in a church, and I want to be a family that submits to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we want to be a church that celebrates every gift that God has given to women. We want to be a place that celebrates every gift that God has given to men, and we want to do it in the order that God's called us to do. And here's how I believe about this passage. Paul has said already in chapter 11, we have no other practice. I mean, this is what we do. If you want to be contentious about this, you're contentious with the Lord. This is the Word of God, right? Notice what he says. If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the what? They're the Lord's commandment. This is what Jesus wants. He wants us as men to be godly leaders. He wants us as women to be godly followers of Jesus Christ. He wants all of us to work together in harmony, because when that happens, it's a beautiful thing. He says, but if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. In other words, we got no other teaching. This is what we teach in all the churches. This is a universal practice. It should be a universal practice today. He says, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid the speaking of tongues. Let me give you the final point here. When we're mature in our gifting, the final point that I have is that so we can strive for spiritual gifts and we can honor the Lord. We can strive for spiritual gifts and we can honor the Lord. Notice what he says. Desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Strive for them. And notice this, church. Do not forbid the speaking of tongues. That's God's word. We will not forbid the speaking of tongues, but we will operate in the gift of tongues in the way that the scriptures prescribe that we do. Therefore, he says, but all things must be done how? Properly and in an orderly manner. Properly and in an orderly manner. So this is what we do. When it comes to prophecy and tongues, this is the way we operate. When it comes to all of our spiritual giftings, this is how we operate. We want to be mature in our thinking. We want to be mature in our behavior. How do we grow in that? By loving God more, receiving more of his love so we can love one another, by having grace for one another, by building one another up in the body of Christ so that we can do that. And that's what God wants for us. And so this is a message that God points out for all of us as we navigate through his word. We have to hold high the word of God. We have to hold true to the word of God. I will not punt the word of God. I will not change the word of God to comfort people. I will come under the word of God and say, thus saith the Lord. And I encourage you, wrestle with this. Look at what it says. Men, be spiritual leaders. Women, be godly women. Let's be the fullness of what God wants us to be. Let's be a congregation where both men and women can be celebrated to the fullness of God, that all the gifts are in operation as we pursue him, as we pursue our gifting, so that Jesus is exalted, the body of Christ is built up, and the kingdom of Jesus Christ is advanced throughout the world. Amen? That's what God has for us.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Gifts Operating in the Church, from the series Stronger, about how spiritual gifts build up the body of Christ so the church can impact the culture. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.